This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy!
It is a Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists and industry, and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Haima Black, Dynasty Podcast, live from Virgin Hotel, and I am sitting here with Musa Reams. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for your patience. We just, anybody watching the stream knows we just had to restart this. And, you know, technology, when you're doing live interviews, sometimes that's the cost of doing business. But thanks for being a good sport, and thank you for being here,
No
man.
Problem. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And so I was just saying that I found out about your music really recently. I visited Alex Fruchter's class at Columbia College Chicago. Alex Fruchter, of course, people know him from Closed Sessions. He also is an instructor at Columbia, and he also recently just took control of Ruby Horn at a site that he used to run and manage. So anyway, Alex Fruchter, very multi-talented guy. He's somebody I know from the music community and from teaching at Columbia as well. And when he brings me into a class and he says, hey, the students want to talk to you about an artist, I'm always just like, right on. I'm in. I trust Alex's judgment. And the class was telling me about your music, and we were able to really turn this around really quickly and bring you on. So that's cool. I'm glad we were able to do this, man.
I'm super happy, too. This is great. This is a great opportunity to be here, and I really appreciate just being in the studio with you.
No, man. Yeah, for sure. So we always start kind of like at the beginning, you know, asking about like your creative journey. Like, how did this start for you? When did music enter your life? How did you know that you were going to be an artist?
I knew that I wanted to be an artist a little bit later on, around 15 years old. Mm-hmm. But in eighth grade, I was on my eighth grade graduation trip in Washington, D.C. And during that time, I was on a bus. And we drove to D.C. from Chicago. And my history teacher, he was like a hip-hop nerd. And we were talking about like top five artists of like all time. And we were talking about people like Nas, Biggie.
Sure. The
greats. Andre, yeah. And he was like, he threw something on the table. He was, look at this. And he put his phone out, and it was MF Doom. Mm-hmm. And from that day on, I started rapping over Special Herbs tapes. And that kind of led me into rapping. Took a break. Went to Pitchfork in 2012. And just was very inspired by the people I saw. Went back home. Started rapping to one of my friends. We formed a group named Children of Ilio. She produced for me. And one of my friends, and we ended up getting a lot of attention in the city during the time, getting featured on places like Elevator and things like that. And things kind of took off from there, and it began from there.
See, and I love these stories, always starting with like the beginning of it, because I love when you hear those things of like, yeah, I had this instructor who showed me MF Doom,
right.
Or like, you know, somebody being like, well, my dad owned a nightclub, and he brought me, like, I always love hearing those, like, that aha moment,
right.
Because so many artists really remember vividly, like, hey, this was the thing that flipped the script for me.
Right. And also just being able to see it happen. I remember my pops playing a lot of soul records when I was younger, like Minnie Riperton and like stuff like that. And then taking that and putting it into hip hop and flipping the samples and just like, oh my God, like, he can relate to it in a certain way. And just seeing the people around me relate to it and taking it to a different level was another awesome thing that I experienced.
So you're inspired by all this happening around you. You're starting to find out about really great artists and kind of seeing that in your life. Like, when did that start to really become something where like, maybe I could actually do this. Maybe I could like put this together for myself.
I started to realize that I used to come downtown when I was younger and I seen people like Saba, Chance, St. Millie, and I seen Alex doing what he was doing with Closed Sessions.
Sure.
And seeing that was very inspiring. The Renaissance of Chicago was something crazy. I was around like high school when it happened, and I just remember going to places like Juggernaut and Leaders and just seeing things just coming to fruition for a lot of people. And during that time, it just inspired me to do it myself. And I knew from the you could do grassroots here in Chicago, and you can work on things yourself, and then you can have the support system that you would need. And that's one thing that's the beauty of Chicago. And just being able to work with Alex and seeing him saying that he likes my music. I remember looking at Ruby Horn in high school, like a Fake Short Drive, and seeing certain things and be like, oh, I know this person. I know Saba. And that influenced me to really want to do it myself also.
Well, and everything you just mentioned, everything you saw about Fake Short, Close, you know, all that, like, you're seeing this kind of like, obviously, everyone talks about the Renaissance and et cetera. We don't have to be like, this is what it is. Everyone knows. But it's really interesting to really hear these firsthand accounts of, like, this sort of almost, like, post-Chance wave where artists are seeing Chance already coming up, and they've been like, oh, my gosh, that could be me, too.
Right.
Because I think that, you know, seeing someone like a Saba or a Chance or anybody, like, to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, does that really, like, drive home the point, like, oh, my gosh, you actually can do this here?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I'm from the west side of Chicago, Austin. I also grew up in Woodside, also, too. So my little brother, he goes to St. Joe's. Saba went to St. Joe's.
Well, and Saba's from Austin.
Right, Austin.
Right, he's from that west side.
A lot of things, you see people right there, and you see them. When you see them doing it, you make sure that you can see the idea of yourself doing it, too.
Right. Yeah, and I think that makes a difference versus just seeing somebody who, like, lives in Beverly Hills and has all this money and all these resources and connections. And seeing them make it, it's like, well, the odds are pretty in their favor. But when you see someone from Chicago actually doing it from a neighborhood that you recognize or something, I think that does drive home, like, oh, my gosh, this could be me.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think that's the great thing about Chicago, too, because of the diversity within the city. You have the west side, the north side, uptown, you know, out south, over east.
It's so many different
avenues just in general, So I think that's a great thing about this city. And I go to... Being here and then exploring other cities, like, you can tell how different Chicago is just being here, and, like, the unity within the city and just the growth within the city within the past couple of years, and just the support that the city has. And it's really beautiful to see.
Now, how did you start connecting to some of that support as you're an early artist first starting out? Like, when did you start to get the sense of, like, oh, my gosh, people are actually hearing what I'm doing?
I began my solo career last year, and my first project, Another Dose, premiered on These Days. So shout out to everybody at These Days News.
They're another outlet that's really supporting.
Yeah, and it's two songs on that project, and both of them are really close to 100K, and it came out last year. So just seeing just that organically happening and people paying attention to getting a lot of blog exposure, doing a lot of shows. I performed at the Chicago Next Series at Soho House last year.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kevin Koval, you know. Shout out to everybody at YCA, too. It was just a great experience. Seeing things like that and seeing people actually notice you and seeing you put the work in is something that I cherish and I value greatly. I would definitely say during that time, that's when I really knew. And then I took the whole summer to write and make sure I was staying on top of my work and working on different projects. And then a couple weeks ago, I was featuring on Ruby Hornet, and then Alex hits me on Twitter like, oh, I've been following your music. I'm like, this is dope. So it's pretty crazy right now.
Now, Alex reaching out to you via Ruby Hornet and featuring you there, is that what opened the door to you connecting with the Amp Hip Hop class? Which we're going to talk about what Amp Hip Hop is in just a second, but was that the kind of thread there?
I actually got reached out by a person named Alexi for Ruby Hornet, and it was like an interview type thing. But before that, I've been following Amp. Ironically, Amp was the first person, the first like thing to ever reach out to me for music. I was like 15 years old and I sent them music, a part of a group, and they was like, oh, we like this. It was a kid named Justin Mackey, and he was interning the Closed Sessions at the time too, and they reached out, was like, we like what you guys are doing, we want to get you on a playlist maybe. But I was like around 16 or 17 at that time. So I followed them, and I kept on following within the scene. And then this semester, they end up getting hold of my music. I end up sending them music, and they end up liking it. We met, and it's a perfect fit, and I love what's going on right now. It's a great feeling. Great support system from each department, too. And just, you know, the team that I have around me is just great to see what's going on and what's happening at the time.
And it is really cool. And for anybody who doesn't know, Amp Hip Hop, Amp is a... kind of curriculum. It's a course. It's a couple courses at Columbia College where you're a student.
Correct.
And I'm an instructor. It's like the making of a great sitcom. and Columbia College has this program called AMP, and it stands for Arts, Entertainment, Music, Management, something. I don't know what the P is. But I should. Mm. Don't fire me, Columbia. But they have an AMP rock class, and they have an AMP hip-hop class. And the AMP hip-hop class, especially I've seen, is very active. And they, like, sign artists, and they bring in an artist where, like, that's their, for lack of a better word, their project for a semester.
Right.
And it seems like you are kind of the artist that they're really working on this semester.
Right.
So what goes along with that? Like, what's entailed in being, you know, an AMP artist at Columbia College? And as a student, like, how does that work?
Well, I'm a music business student at Columbia, first and foremost. Being a music business student at Columbia and tying it into this curriculum is definitely something that's easy to do. Coming into talking to the team at AMP and my peers, having budgets ready and having things like that ready, what we want to have an idea of in terms of like press releases and things like that, shows we want to do and like events we want to do is definitely something we talk about. The music, I think that's something that we love going over and discussing and actually putting it into fruition. So it's a great and intense course, and it's a lot of work to be done still as of now, and I'm glad to be a part of it, but I know once I got into it, I wanted to keep on progressing as the semester goes, and there's a lot of more work to be done with it too.
Now, you know, being a student and being involved both as a student and like as kind of like a featured artist, how much of an education is this on the artist side? Like, how much are you learning about in all these things, about how this whole process works, and how much do you feel like, oh my gosh, even a year ago, I had no idea about this, this, and this?
I definitely learned a lot in just the business of music at Columbia, in terms of, like, times changing, and things, especially in the internet age, a lot of things change.
Very quickly.
Very quickly, rapidly. So just being able to see people first who have firsthand experience and taking that information and be like, okay, this is what's happening now, and this is how you can utilize the tools and resources that you have. Taking that into music is like, okay, people are doing EPs, people are doing projects, what should I do? How much music should I release? Should it be licensed? And things like that is definitely something I pay attention to.
You've got it. Like, it's right. So important to have that actual information, mm-hmm. because a lot of artists, they're like, oh, I'll figure out the licensing and the trademark and, right. and this and that later.
Right.
But it's like the more, I mean, it sounds very cliche to be like, the more you know, like, the better equipped you are.
Right.
Yeah.
And being at Columbia, like, I love the resources here. And I remember before I came to Columbia, it was definitely a spot that I want to go here. And it was for sure. It was the school that I saw. And I live in Chicago and I grew up here and I knew I wanted to stay within the city. And I saw Columbia and just saw the great things that it has done and continues to do. And I'm really appreciative of the opportunities that I have received at Columbia and just the many more that are to come.
So Columbia's been awesome. AMP's been awesome. On your end, kind of bring us into your process of recording and releasing music over the last, let's say, 2 years that you've really been, like, on that model.
The freshman year, which is 2015, in the springtime, I released a 3-song EP with this group called Church and Ilios, which I was in. It premiered via Elevator Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It was named Beta Genesis EP. After that, I ended up doing solo stuff, so I ended up releasing a single called Now With Gang, and then I released in the summer Another Dose. And after that, I just released like a slew of singles. And I've been working on new things since that, and videos also. So in terms of my process, like, I love setting themes to projects. I grew up listening to projects and taking concepts and really trying to build an idea around that. And mm-hmm. MF Doom is like the perfect example of that. So I'm working on like a big project called Where the Sun Never Rises, and a lot of other things will tie into that. And I release singles from that also, and just, you know, just being able to realize what you want to do and what direction you want to go in and forming an idea from it. And basically, I took the sun as a concept, and what the sun ever rises means is basically Chicago. And I feel like Chicago is also, like, often clouded in negativity or, like, a viewpoint that isn't always positive.
Well, and the way that people talk about it outside of Chicago, the way that it's brought up politically right now is this kind of, like, excuse where people are like, oh, well, if so-and-so cared about gun control, they would talk about Chicago. And it's really disgusting when it just gets tossed out there, like it's not a real place with real people.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And with the sun ever rises, saying that the sun, to other people, it may seem like it's always cloudy here. It's nothing. The right light isn't always shown within the city or on the city. So I wanted to take that in my own way and have it come from somebody who's actually from the city, have an account from their mouth and like an account from lyricism and what they see in the city that they walk in and what it means to them.
Yeah, and have that firsthand account.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And so you've been releasing, like you said, steady singles and smaller form projects in service of kind of this larger...
Right.
Have you seen a good response from, like, just putting out short form work that people can easily digest?
Yeah, for sure. In terms of strategy, I think it is definitely easier to digest, especially now, just shorter projects, but you can still be conceptual within that. I'm also down for bigger projects, too. I love listening to it because a lot of people are good at different things, and I feel like I'm building the credibility and the ability to become great at both. And with writing, I love creating short projects, but I still like to have a big overall theme with the projects that I'm making and an overall idea to tie it all together.
And the new song you just released, I think, like 4 or 5 days ago, right? Like Play for Keeps?
Correct.
I love that. I don't have a question. I just wanted to say that I love
that
song.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. It's a jam, and it's so easy to vibe to.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And you have a new EP set for release on what, like November 1st? Is that the case?
We're looking to release it sometimes early next month or the end of this month. And yes, releasing the EP, the first single was Play for Keeps. Mm-hmm. It premiered via Fake Show Drive, too.
And that's huge.
Yeah, it really is. It's a dream, to be honest with you. Like, these last 2 weeks, Fake Shore and Ruby Hornet, and just being able to work with AMP is very crazy right now.
Well, we were just talking. We had a motherfucking Mellow on the podcast mm-hmm. last week. Mm-hmm. And, again, my favorite name. Mm-hmm. And we were talking, and he was saying that, like, you know, when Pivot had, like, their premiere on... what's up? PJ's here? when... when Pivot had their premiere on Fake Shore, they said that was like one of these like milestone moments. And it's like, in my mind, I think getting a post on Fake Shore, playing someplace like the Metro or like a Shubas, or, you know, getting a feature on These Days, or like all these kind of things, like they're meaningful markers, you know?
For sure.
So the new project is coming out November 1st, and that's going to be an EP?
Correct.
Okay. You also did a So Far Sounds show. Recent. When was that?
That was September 27th. It was in Wicker Park. It was a rooftop show. And it went from, like, really warm to really cold. So
Chicago.
But it was really fun. It was really fun.
What was that process like? Like, did they reach out to you? Did you reach out to them? Or
I've actually done a lot of So Fars. But recently, about maybe last year around April, I started doing So Far Sounds. And I've done at least three or four since then. And I enjoy them. And I'll shout out to Matt Brooks for, you know, having me and just being a huge supporter of my music.
And it's a great way to connect with people. Right. To connect with an audience. Have you found that to be like a really meaningful tool for like building up the kind of, you know, the amount of people who are aware of what you're doing? And
yes, it's definitely a different way to connect with audiences. It's also a different way to perform, and it gives me insight on what things I want to do. If I'm doing certain things, maybe I want to perform with a band, maybe I want to perform with a DJ. It's always different things that you can do back
in
track.
You can experiment it.
Right, exactly. And with that, it gives me ideas, because it also gives me ideas about new music that I want to test out, or new music that I can try that might correlate to a different audience. So,
and so, you know, you said that this really was something that you kind of became, it sounds like, especially active with within the last, like, 2 years or so.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How much do you feel like where you are now versus 2 years ago? Like, what's the difference in that? And, like, do you look back at 2 years ago and be like, I can't believe how much more I know now?
Yeah, every year I feel like I definitely grow in terms of knowledge and hunger. Like, I feel like I was hungry since, like, 15, but each and every year I make sure I'm, like, writing every day. I tweeted the other day, writing is like exercise. I do it every day. I make sure, like, I take time aside every day.
That's
to write
the only way to get better at anything. Right. You got to do it every single day, and especially the days where you don't feel like it, especially the days where, like, I'll do it tomorrow. And it's like, those are the days you really have to, like, actually put something out there.
And the thing about the new music, I really forced myself to get outside of my comfort zone. And during this time, I tried to make sure that I was doing something that I love doing. So I feel like whenever you're trying to be the greatest at something, you have to be a student of it. You have to study. And I just study who I think is dope, or who I think is the best at rapping.
That's probably a lot of MF Doom.
MF Doom, yeah. Sean P, like Big L, Big Pun, Biggie. Common, yeah, you know, like,
the legends,
exactly.
And Common doesn't get brought up enough, but his work is significant.
Yeah, significant. And I've been listening to him a lot as of late, but just seeing different things and taking it from different regions too, and, you know, not being narrow-minded and being open-minded about certain things and trying to step outside of your comfort zone in order to create something great is something I really try to focus on, because it makes it more fun too when you have to, like, really, really try to take an idea and form it to something else that you really, that you won't be used to at the end of the result. So
yeah, absolutely. So you've got the EP that's dropping early November. You've got a larger project in the works. What else can you tell us about, like, what's ahead of you as we're kind of almost winding down the year?
Right. A lot of shows. I love performing, so we have a lot of shows. We have a show October 27th in Pilsen at the Olin Studio.
Where? So
the Olin Studio is on West 23rd.
Oh, I haven't even heard of that.
Right.
Pilsen is that neighborhood where you'd be like, oh man, and there's so many little like you know, newer or smaller venues that it's like, you could totally not know about all of them.
So that would be the first one. You can also catch me on Saturday. I'll be doing a Haven conference with Ad2. He's also a big supporter of me, so shout out Ad2. Adam Dempsey, you know what I'm saying? Everybody up there. Just a lot of shows coming up, especially within the next, like, couple weeks. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to releasing music, visuals, and everything. Getting back into the studio, and just getting the concept of just being out here and just working really hard.
And staying busy.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, I think you've accomplished a lot in a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. Like, to hear everything you're doing, whether it's, like, being involved with AMP, doing So Far shows, being featured on, like, Fake Shore and Ruby Hornet, and all these things, and you hear that there's been, like, over a two-year trajectory. That's impressive.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's a lot in a short space.
Thank you.
You know, I always say a couple things at the end, and I always mean it. Like, A, I want to keep the conversation going. So if you have new things happening, come back on the podcast. Like,
for sure,
we can
sure.
reconnect next year and be like, hey, since the last time I talked, I've got this, this, and this.
Right.
And also, like, you know, I always kind of like asking, especially younger artists, like, who are starting or, you know, in the kind of earlier stage of their career, like, what advice would you give for anybody else who is also seeing a lot of these artists come up the way that you saw Chance and Saba, and they're maybe thinking, like, oh, man, I'd like to do that, but I don't know how to, like, make that first step?
Well, the first step is making the first step, I would definitely say. You can't be afraid to make mistakes or to fail. And with that being said, I would say that not being afraid to fail is your biggest strength. And being hungry and just trying to work as much as possible and realizing your vision is your vision, and that if you have confidence in it, then it can be manifested.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I said, like, a lot of times, like, things will, it's ups and downs to everything, it's pros and cons to everything. But if you still realize what the goal is and you stay persistent, you can do whatever you want to.
Yeah, and you can just put the work out there, because like you said earlier on, like, the resources are here in Chicago now.
Right.
That wasn't always the case. A lot of times for artists up until a certain point, you had to leave Chicago to really, like, make something happen. And now, yeah, there's so much. We're certainly not at the, like, capacity for it, but there's a lot more infrastructure and a lot more, you know, collaborators and mediums and things like that in Chicago now for artists to start out with. So that's, I think, positive.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see just the love spread out throughout the city. Like, also with just FemDot just getting signed. And ironic thing, I seen him in the studio the other day, and we never met each other. So it was like a couple weeks ago, and he's like, "What's your name?" I'm like, "Musa." And now we, like, together in 1 week is crazy. So,
and FemDot's another artist, man, who's just killing it.
Yeah, shout out to him for real.
He just signed to Closed Sessions, which again goes back to Alex Fruchter and that whole thing. So, yeah, it's a small city and it all connects.
Right, exactly.
Musa Reams, where can people find your music online? What's the best platform for them to do that?
You can find me on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/MusaReams, MusaReems. And all social medias, I'm MusaReems, Musa Reams.
You got that branding. That's smart. You. It's always great when you can get every platform to be the same spelling. That's ideal. Dude, this is killer. I love the music. I'm glad we got to start the conversation. Let's keep this going next year as you have new things happening, and keep up the grind. It's really impressive, man.
I really appreciate it. I'm thankful to be on the podcast too. Thank you for having me out here tonight.
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah, Musa Reams doing big things, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcast. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.